We've been reading for the last couple of Sundays from the prophet Amos, who is known as the social justice prophet. And he's the one that more than all the other prophets kind of berates the wealthy and the powerful and the strong for ignoring the weak and the poor. They sit on their beds of ivory and they drink wine from bowls. You know, glasses aren't big enough, so they drink it from bowls. You know, gluttony and... But the real condemnation that Amos gives is not that they have these riches, but that they ignore the needs of the poor. And God in the Old Testament is always presented as the one who is on the side of the poor. Even if no one else cares, notices the poor and their needs, God always does. God has a special predilection for the poor. And the poor are spoken of in various ways in the Bible. You know, the poor in spirit, who may have money, but they don't have, they have a poverty of psychology or spiritual needs or whatever. Some are poor in spirit because they choose to be poor for the kingdom. There's also the church. The little ones, the poor, are in many ways in the New Testament synonymous with the church. The church was, in the first century, very poor because they were being persecuted by the Romans, persecuted by the Jews, persecuted by the Greeks. In many ways, they were destitute, but they clung to their faith and they were martyred for their faith. And so when Paul takes up a collection for the poor in Jerusalem, what he means is the church, because the church in Jerusalem was in desperate poverty because they were being so oppressed by the rest of the culture. Cut out of jobs, cut out of everything. Okay. Jesus, the God, human, crosses the great chasm that is spoken of in the gospel story today. He comes from heaven to earth to take on our poverty. The gospel acclamation for last Sunday and today is the same. He became poor so that through his poverty we might become rich. Here, poverty and riches are spoken of in a different way, divinity versus humanity. He took on the poverty of our human nature, which is so much less than God that we are destitute poor. He took on our poverty so that through his poverty, through his humanity, we might share in his divinity. And we celebrate that in the Mass every day. When the priest pours that drop of water into the wine, he says, "By the mystery of your incarnation, may we come to share in the divinity of Christ who humbled himself to share in our humanity." It's this wonderful exchange of natures, human and divine. He takes on our humanity so that we can take on his divinity. And then invites us to become other Christs, invites us to do the same thing for the poor in our midst and for the church in our midst. So generosity is really key. And last Sunday's gospel was about the unjust steward, and he gets praised for being ingenious. He takes the master's money, which isn't his, and he gives a portion of it to each of the master's debtors. He's dishonest in this. The debtors, who are the poor, they presume that he has made a deal with the master, so their opinion of the master elevates. They think, oh, he is really a pretty nice guy. He's pretty generous. He's not the jerk we thought he was. So the master is trapped. What's he going to do? Announce to the community, no, I'm not generous. I want that back. He's embarrassed, so he has to allow all that money to go out. And he praises the unjust steward for his ingenuity. Well, in a way, that's us. God has graced us with our gifts, our talents, where we are in life and everything like that. None of that belongs to us. We're simply stewards of it. But Jesus wants us to give it away as if it were ours. That opening prayer today suggests that God shows his great power primarily through his compassion and his mercy. And we're celebrating the year of mercy that was called forth by Pope Francis. Mercy and compassion aren't ours, but God wants us to give it away as if it were ours. Our gifts, our talents that we share with the community, with the parish, with the poor, those aren't ours. But God wants us to use them as if they were our own and give them away. Be generous. Okay, finally, one of the keys to the gospel story today is the gate. And we know what gates and doorways mean in the Bible and in the liturgy. They are thresholds between here and there, between the present and the age to come, between the inside the kingdom and outside the kingdom, inside the family of God and outside the family of God. Gates are thresholds. They are entranceways into something more, or at least to something else, something different. Lazarus, the poor man, he sits at the gate of the rich man's house and begs for years, and the rich man doesn't even know he's there. He is a gate through which the rich man could have had a connection with the poor. He could have identified with them through the person of Lazarus, but he ignored the gate. When Christ speaks of himself as the good shepherd who is the gate, a shepherd would often, in the gateway to the paddock, he would sleep there. He was the gate, so that a marauder or a wolf would have to kill him in order to get to the sheep. So he lays down his life for the sheep. He puts his life at stake. And there's this infinite generosity about laying down your life for the sheep. And Lazarus is laying down in the gate of this rich man a golden opportunity for him to be connected, and he ignores it. That's the issue. We are invited to do penances, to fast, to sacrifice, and some of that is for spiritual discipline, but a lot of that is for this gateway, a connection to the poor. So, for example, on Fridays, we are encouraged to abstain from eating meat. Well, that honors the sacrifice that Christ made on Friday, his sacrifice on Calvary, the complete gift of himself. So we have an opportunity to give up something that isn't nearly that hard. We're not giving up our lives, but we're giving up something to connect with Christ. It's like he is the gate for our connection to that ultimate generosity that we're not giving, but we're connected to it nonetheless. But there's another gate, there's another connection, and that is we here in America who have meat twice a day and figure we have a right to that and deserve that, and we take that for granted, it's a way for us to connect with 80% of the world for whom eating meat is a luxury once or twice a month, maybe once or twice a year, that they would have meat. And it's a way for us to dynamically connect with them, because God has told us over and over again in the Bible, if we are so out of touch with the poor that we have no connection whatsoever, then we're going to end up like the rich man. We create distances and barriers instead of gateways in this life. And there's something that's going to last eternally about those separations that we made. Good stewardship is often spoken of in the Bible and in the tradition of the church as tithing. And the origin of tithing, of course, comes from that story about Abraham, who looms in the gospel today too. And Abraham, after winning a major battle, is hosted by Melchizedek, who is the priest king of that region. And he's fed a lavish banquet for Abraham and all of his soldiers, all of his kin. And so Abraham gives him 10% of all the booty from the battle, off the top. And tithing comes from that story. But it really, it originates even sooner than that in the book of Genesis with Cain and Abel. Each of them was asked to give a tithe to God. And so Abel, he gave the best lamb out of his flock. And Cain took some extra grain that was kind of rotten, and he gave that. Abel gave off the top. That was his tithe. And the 10%, the one lamb off the top, was a symbol of his generosity back to God. Cain took it off the bottom, which was a symbol of his lack of generosity and giving back to God. So for us, what does that look like? One thing is, we write our check to the church, our tithe, on the first of the month, right after the paycheck comes. That way, if we get short toward the end of the month, then we give up a K-State game instead of the church's tithe. If you take it off the bottom, if you wait till the 31st to write the check, you're always a little short at the end of the month, and so you're giving to God off the bottom, aren't you? That's just one example. Here at Thomas More, there's an immense amount of generosity that takes place, not only financially, but in terms of giving our time and our talents. And you heard that announcement that we're really short of lectors and extraordinary ministers of communion and ushers and things like that. And we have a number of people involved in the parish in several of those ministries. So there's already a lot of generosity there, but there's still some need. Still a need for people to step forward in that. And next Sunday afternoon, we're doing a training for some of those ministries. And so if you think maybe you would be a good lector or an extraordinary minister of communion or an usher, just come to that session and we'll give you the training you need.